Today, the Australian population booms as unemployment rises, but... Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis, one that is post covering finance and property news. Well, today we got the latest data from the ABS on employment and population growth. And while Australian unemployment stayed relatively low in February as job gains continued, which perhaps reinforced the Reserve Bank's view that the economy remained resilient enough to withstand tighter monetary policy, the big news was strong population growth, up by 1.6% in the 12 months to September 2025, growing to 27.7 million people, with 423,600 more people than in September 2024. That was made up by natural increase and, of course, that's the number of births minus number of deaths, and overseas migration. Natural increase added 112,600 people, with births up by 1.9% and deaths down by 1.4%. But net overseas migration added 311,000 people over the year. Across the states, Western Australia was the fastest growing state, with a population rise of 2.2%. Victoria and Queensland grew by 1.7%. Tasmania had the slowest growth over the 12 months, with just a 0.3% rise in population. Now, as Cameron Kushner put it on X, even with the pandemic in the 5 years to September 2025, Australia's population has increased by 2 million plus. I can't say that I believe we're building sufficient homes, roads, schools, hospitals, public transport infrastructure, etc., to cater for that magnitude of population increase. Absolutely. On the employment data, the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate increased to 4.3% in February, according to the latest from the ABS. The trend unemployment rate did fall marginally from revised 4.3% in January to 4.2% in February. But we need to take account of the fact that the ABS revised the original labour force series from July 2024 onwards to reflect the latest available preliminary and final estimates of the estimated resident population. This is a quarterly process, they say, that ensures that the labour force series promptly reflects any change in population trends and minimises the size of revisions that can occur when the series are re-benchmarked following each census of population and housing. So, number wagging there in the background. The ABS said that the number of unemployed people grew by 35,000, and that contributed to a 0.2 percentage point increase in the unemployment rate in February. This month, we saw fewer people who were unemployed and waiting to start a job than in January, and more moved into employment in February compared to recent Februaries. And we also saw more people remaining unemployed this month compared to recent Februaries. Employed people grew by 49,000. Part-time employment rose by 79,000, while full-time employment fell by 30,000. So this month, we saw more people move into part-time employment, particularly those aged 65 years and above. And additionally, we also saw fewer people leaving jobs to retire compared to a year ago. And that may have something, of course, to do with the greater amount of debt that people have and the fact that people need to work to earn to pay their debts. Hours worked fell by 0.2% over the month, with more people working part-time hours instead of full-time hours. The growth in both employment and unemployment resulted in a 0.2 percentage point increase to the participation rate, which was 66.9% in February. And across the states, the Northern Territories had an unemployment rate of 5% in season-adjusted terms, followed by Victoria at 4.7%, Tasmania 4.6%, Queensland 4.4%, Western Australia 4.2%, New South Wales 4.1%, South Australia 4%, and the ACT at 3.5%, where, of course, a lot of the bureaucracy lives. Given the latest on the oil crisis and the Gulf War, the rearview of economic data here is almost meaningless, but I do note that inflation could peak at 5% this year, and petrol price hikes continue to slug motorists until 2029. According to new forecasts released by the Treasurer Jim Chalmers as he released the Treasury modelling, which suggested a long-lasting conflict in the Middle East could see Australia's GDP 0.6% lower in 2027 and that could slash around $16.5 billion from the national economy by 2027. Sounds recessionary. After suggesting at the weekend that inflation is to rise somewhere beyond 4.5% in Australia, up from 3.8%, Chalmers said the prospect of inflation peaking in the high fours or even higher this year is very real. Around half of the impact to GDP is due to the impact of higher oil. The other half is due to broader consequences, he said. The modelling considered two scenarios. In the shorter version, the oil price would stay at around $100 per barrel for the first half of the year before gradually returning to pre-conflict prices by Christmas. But a more prolonged scenario was that the oil price would reach $120 per barrel in the first half of 2026 and then would take about 3 years to get back to prices before the US and Israeli-led conflict. And earlier, Chalmers conceded that government spending had actually played a role in fueling inflation, he told Channel 7. He understood that public demand spending was, quote, part of the overall calculation of aggregate demand in the economy, and the government was reducing it. Chris Richardson said on X, Treasury has modelled two scenarios. I call them oh dear and oh no. Oh dear is already underway. Oil at $100 a barrel. It immediately pushed inflation up to 4.5% and weakens the economy. The oh no scenario is worse. With oil at $100 a barrel for some time, it sees inflation at 5% and a larger and lingering hit to the economy. But the longer this goes on, the more damage will be. Tell me again how a 0.25% lift in the cash rate this week is going to help unblock the Straits of Hormuz. Expect the unemployment rate to rise ahead, and government handouts will have to start flowing if the crisis continues. But I am sure strong migration will remain part of their plan too, and I suspect that the economic damage, if this goes on, will be significantly bigger than that modelled by Treasury. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.